That damn man Himmler will soon have all my friends inside his concentration camps.
Goering to General Feldmarshal Milch, 22nd of September, 1943. Singing at the top of his voice, Torpedomat Klaus Pohl leaves the brothel. The sign of the shaking bed, Impiergos. In the distance can be heard the noise of a free-for-all between a group of German sailors and some Italian Alpine troops. Klaus Pohl grins happily and decides to take a hand, but changes his mind quickly as his eye falls on a pretty girl whom he has noticed earlier in the evening.
"Hey, Liebling!"
he shouts, his voice echoing in the night quiet of the street.
"Wait for the Navy! It's dangerous to drop out of convoy!"
He puts his fingers to his mouth and lets out a piercing whistle, putting the local cats to flight. The girl looks back and smiles provocatively. Klaus increases his pace. He has been disappointed at the brothel. There were more customers than the ladies could cope with. He whistles again, and is so engrossed in the girl that he does not notice the figures of men who have emerged from a side street and are following him. The girl turns down a little alley. When he reaches it, she seems to have vanished into thin air. Four men make a ring around him.
"What the hell?"
he shouts, snatching for his P-38. A noose, thrown expertly from behind, loops tightly around his throat. He chokes and falls to his knees, his arms thrashing wildly. His round sailor's hat rolls down the street like a runaway wheel. A boot sinks into his crotch. A pistol butt crashes down on the back of his neck. Next day, Torpedomat Klaus Pohl is found by some Greek civilians who alert the police. His naked body is lying in the gutter, only a few yards from German HQ. Identification is very difficult, and the identity of the corpse is first revealed when his flotilla reports Klaus Pohl missing. The case is treated as an unimportant routine investigation. Naked corpses of German soldiers are turning up in Greek gutters every day. 2 hours later, three Greek prisoners are hanged publicly as a reprisal. The Cactus Forest. The section stands looking at the corpses, which have bloated grotesquely in the hot sun. The body of a lieutenant sprawls across the stonework of the well. His tongue has been torn out, and his mouth is one great clot of blood.
"Must have hurt like hell, that,"
nods Porter, pointing at the dead officer.
"Been a quiet chap if he'd lived through it,"
says Buffalo, passing his tongue over his sun-cracked lips.
"Over in the bleeding orchard, they've tied some on 'em to a couple of pulled-down trees and let the trees go. Ripping idea, ain't it?"
says Tiny, slapping at the flies with the sleeve of a Greek uniform.
"I'll cut their fucking joysticks off,"
promises Skull, and draws a parachute knife from his boot top.
"And you, a bloody NCO,"
jeers Porter.
"Trouble with you is you haven't seen enough deadens yet."
"The bleeding partisans got to be left to have their bit of fun,"
considers Tiny.
"Us bleeding Germans could have stayed at home, couldn't we?"
Porter prizes the dead Schaubstallmeister's rigid jaws apart. His forceps glitter in the sun, and Porter is two gold teeth richer. Tiny acquires a full cigar case. With a heavily put-on City Director air, he lights a fat Brazilian cigar and moves into the shade cast by an overturned Kubel, first pushing the bloody corpse of the driver to one side.
"Even the dead have a use during the war," says Porter. "They take up the attention of the flies and keep them away from us who are still alive."
"So many flies,"
says Gregor wonderingly as a heavy swarm rises buzzing from the body of the dead driver. Porter opens a tin of tuna and shovels the contents into his mouth with a bayonet.
"Tuna is good for you,"
it says on the outside of the tin. Behind the long building we find 10 Blitzmerdel. They are dead, and laid out neatly in a row. They have not been dead for more than 1 or 2 days. The smell isn't very bad yet, and the birds have only pecked out the eyes of two of them.
"They've had some fun with them first,"
says Tiny lecherously, lifting up a blue-grey military skirt.
"This tart has lost her frillies."
"Shut it, pig,"
the old man rages at him.
"Haven't you any pity at all for these poor bitches?"
"Jesus wept, I don't know any of them,"
protests Tiny.
"Want me to cry my rotten eyeballs out for every dead ore I runs across when there's a bleeding war on? Do you?"